Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 116 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Matt.
And we're here to talk about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Matt, I haven't seen you in a little bit. How has your past week been?
Well, thank you for having me. Seth, I think, is on a cruise this week, so I've stepped in. I was on a cruise last week, and the week before that, I was on a different cruise. A couple of weeks ago, I was on an MSC ship, which was a media invite. And then last week was just for fun, although I was working and always working, always looking for good videos for you guys. But I was on Royal Caribbean's new Odyssey of the Seas cruise ship for 6 days. And I'm sad to be home.
I hear you on that. I still have yet to go on a cruise, but
you got to go
one of these days.
I think you'll love it once you get on there. It's just nothing like it. You can relax. You don't have to worry about unpacking and packing. You see new things all the time. You just stay on the ship. It's just fun. You got food waiting for you all over the ship whenever you want it. So
I've been watching a lot of vlogs, so I've been living through that.
It's a good way to figure it out and be ready for it.
And were you able to get Spider-Man tickets?
Yes, thanks good. To my son Quinn, me and he and his fiance and my mother-in-law and my wife Jackie are all going to see it in IMAX at the Regal Point Orlando. I think on Friday afternoon, so we might have to watch out for some spoilers because I think it's actually coming out on Thursday.
Thursday, yep.
Yeah.
I am going out of town on Friday, so it was like our mission to get tickets for Thursday because where we're going, the movie theaters aren't as nice as they are here. So we were just like, we have to get it on Thursday. I don't care what time we go, we have to see it. So we're seeing it at 3 p.m. on Thursday.
Nice. And not just the theater's nicer, but the longer you wait, the more chance you're going to see some kind of spoiler.
Well, that too. Movie. Yeah, because it'll take us 2 days to drive up there. And that's 2 days of having open access to the internet when everyone's going to be talking about it.
Yep.
So it's just to be safe. we were up really late, though. I know it was hard for a lot of people to get tickets for it.
Yeah, I heard stories of crashed websites and apps and all that sort of thing.
I think we ended up buying ours on like movietickets.com or something. That's not an ad. Because all of our usual, like our theater app, like Fandango, all of that stuff just crashed and we tried everything possible. Yeah. I haven't had that hard of a time getting movie tickets since episode 9 of Star Wars in 2019.
Well, I guess it's all a good sign for the movie theaters that people are still, you know, willing to go out. Depending on if it's a big movie like this, they don't want to wait. So that's good.
There's nothing that compares to the movie theater experience, in my opinion.
Yep.
But without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into the news. First up this week, we've got some of the lineup announced for 2022 at Warner Brothers Studio Tour London, The Making of Harry Potter. And it seems like it's going to be a mischievous and magical year over there.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's anything brand new coming in, but just some new ways to look at what they have. They're going to present some cinematic tricks or they call it what, magical mischief on how they film different scenes, a little behind the scenes on how they created some of the illusions, and not just with CGI, but with cameras and different angles and that sort of thing.
This magical mischief feature runs from January 22nd through May 1st of 2022. So if this is something you're interested in, you're definitely going to want to check it out while it's available. But they'll cover all sorts of things like the acceptance letters from Hogwarts flying through the Dursleys' fireplace in Goblet of Fire, where Fred and George Weasley try to put their names in the goblet and turn into old wizards with long gray beards and hair, and how the special effects team managed to do that. The pranks, I think, from the same film during the students' owls with Dolores Umbridge and the Weasley twins setting off fireworks in the Great Hall. And you'll also be able to make your own origami howler, just like the one that Mrs. Weasley sent to Ron in Chamber of Secrets, which sounds traumatic, but awesome.
If it actually howls at you, then it's going to be traumatic.
Right. they also announced the dates for Dark Arts, which is their Halloween feature. It returns on September 23rd and runs through November 6th. And then Hogwarts in the Snow is also back next year, happening from November 12th through January 15th. And these two are basically the same as before, with Magical Mischief taking up the biggest chunk of the year.
Yeah, I've visited once, not any of these events, but I went just, you know, in the summer, and it's a pretty cool place. It's cool. It's comparable to like going to Disneyland versus Disney World, because you walk around Disneyland, you go, this is where Walt actually walked. And you go to this place, and you go, this is where the actors actually walked. This is where this was actually filmed. It's not a recreation like we have at Universal theme parks. It's the actual sets. So to be able to go in and see it just decorated for Halloween or decorated covered in snow for Christmas sounds really cool.
I've always wanted to go. The fact that they just keep these costumes so pristine, and they offer things like wand combat demonstrations and really kind of take you into the magic behind making these movies that still stand up great despite being 20 years old with the Sorcerer's Stone this year, which is insane. It's really magical, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, how long can this attraction go? It's like, you know, the movies are still popular, and I'm sure the attraction still gets tons of people every day, but it's just like, there's got to be an end date on it somewhere, but maybe not. Maybe it's timeless, like, you know, Star Wars has been around even longer, so.
Yeah, and they're also opening one of these in Japan next year, or in 2023, actually. So just keep it on going. Next up, over at American Dream in New Jersey, they're getting their very own two-story Toys R Us store.
Yeah, I love this. Apparently, Toys R Us is still a thing. I think in Canada, they still have Toys R Us and other places, but in the United States, we've lost them all. And it's great to see it back. I think this is going to get visitors just for nostalgia reasons, and hopefully they'll buy some toys while they're there as well. And hopefully it's the start of some more Toys R Us, because, I mean, I have fond memories even when I was little, first hearing about Toys R Us back in the, I think, early 80s is probably when I first went to a Toys R Us. It'd be great to have them back. It's always fun just to walk through and see what they have.
Yeah, I definitely was sad when the store started to close down in 2019 and early 2020, just because this was like the catalog I loved getting at Christmas to like go through and like circle the things that I wanted when I was a kid. But I only had ever actually been to a Toys R Us once in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it just, I don't know if they just weren't around where I lived or what, but two stories of just like toys and games and all sorts of things.
And of course, you can meet Jeffrey the giraffe. And
and it looks like there's a slide that you can take from the top floor to the bottom floor.
That's awesome.
I wonder if adults will be allowed to take the slide. But this sounds like a ton of fun, and I'm glad to see that the shop will not just be a shop and shop, but it will actually have a storefront. Shop and shops will be at Macy's.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to do some pop-ups inside of Macy's, which is also nice, but it's better to have a whole store full, especially two floors. The one in New York City was multiple floors, and I always love going there when I happen to go to to Times Square area. But so hopefully this is the start of something, some more of them.
Yeah. This one is supposed to open in time for the holiday season of 2021, which is now. But this release was sent to us last week, so I'm not sure what time frame that means then.
Yeah, it does seem awful quick, unless it's been behind construction walls and nobody knew what it was until now. But you'd think word would have leaked out. But if they're going to open that quick, I hope that's true. But we'll see.
Yeah.
And if any of you are in the area, because I'm not going to be, I don't think Brittany's going to be up there, but
nope.
Seth could be. He has family up there. But if any of you happen to go, let us know when it opens and send us some photos and video.
Yeah, I would love to see it. Next up, we've got some holiday news for Universal Studios Singapore. Their holiday festivities, a Universal Christmas, is going to introduce a brand new Minions 2 character named Otto for guests to meet.
Yeah, I don't know much about Otto. It says he's a chubby minion.
I think it's this one with braces on.
Yeah, guy. I think that must be him. Yeah. Okay. Well, the movie, I think, has been promoted, and I've seen toys for it in like Target for what seems like over a year.
Yeah. So
I'm sure it got put off with a pandemic, and hopefully it'll finally come out.
I remember writing about the first teaser back in like late 2019 or early 2020.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's been forever, and it's not coming out until 2022 now. So long time coming, but it's good to see that they're starting to introduce it into the parks. You will get to see all sorts of decorations and the trolls. So Guy Diamond, Poppy, and Branch will be meeting and greeting guests and hosting sing-alongs at Mel's Diner stage. You can also go to the Milk Bar to meet Puss in Boots, Kitty Soft Paws, and Humpty Dumpty. I guess the last two are from the Puss in Boots movie that I've never seen.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good movie. I don't know if there's been sequels. I think I've only seen the first one, if there has. But I'd love to meet Humpty Dumpty. That's cool. I've never seen that character before this photo. I've never seen him as a walk-around character before, so that's cool.
It's kind of frightening looking.
It'd be really cool if he fell apart.
Oh, my goodness. If he, like, did a stunt fall over and then, like, a chunk comes out. if you've got younger guests with you, you can go see Elmo and Abby Cadabby as they write letters to Santa and send off your own letters via Universal Studios Singapore's North Pole Postal Service. Try to say that three times fast. It'll be hard. And they also have Universal's Rockin' Railway, where Christmas trees are inspired by Minions, Jurassic Park, and Shrek along Hollywood Boulevard, kind of like the Christmas tree stroll at Disney Springs. You can also meet Gru, Margot, Edith, Lucy, and Agnes from Despicable Me, Shrek and Fiona from Shrek, and Cookie Monster and Oscar from Sesame Street. So it sounds like lots of good holiday fun. Also, the food is highly themed.
That turkey leg.
Is it like cranberry sauce or like ketchup or something? They have, it looks like a Christmas tree grilled cheese sandwich.
That's good.
But it seems like a lot of fun. And they are also doing a kind of a lottery system in which you can win 20,000 Singapore dollars, which equates to about $14,588 US dollars worth of gifts, which sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
It all depends on spending a certain amount of money in the park. You earn a ticket that can be entered into the lottery draw.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, we're not going to make it there. So if any of you go, love to see photos and videos from this area.
Yes. And then keeping it over in the Asia parks, Tokyo Disney Resort is celebrating Minnie Mouse in 2022 with her very own event called Totally Minnie Mouse.
Yeah, it looks like they're going all out. It's like shows at every park and food and all kinds of stuff for Minnie Mouse. You'll be overloaded with polka dots.
It starts on January 18th, which really isn't that long from now, and runs through March 30th with offerings at both Disneyland and Tokyo DisneySea. The hotels and the Disney Resort line will also be offering little things here and there. But there's stuff every day of this event where many will wear special costumes. Each week or two of the event is divided into themes, with Cheerful Minnie, Dreaming Minnie, and Enthusiastic Minnie. And this takes place at both parks. She'll be wearing costumes from classic and current, I believe, stage shows there. And the shows at Tokyo Disney are like cult hits. They love the costumes. They offer plush of the costumes. People dress up in the costumes. You'll get to see all of Minnie's friends dress up. You'll get to meet them. And then they will also have a harbor greeting over at Tokyo DisneySea, a short parade in the Mediterranean harbor, which sounds adorable. And of course, the merch is always on point over there. They'll have tons of plush badges and keychains, totes, scrunchies, a special kind of like photo, like fashion thing that you can buy of Minnie just posing in all of her outfits across the resort, which is so not weird, but different and kind of funny. I love that. All of the merchandise will be available starting January 17th, by the way. And then they will also have tons of themed food. If it's got polka dots on it, you could probably eat it, maybe. lots of it includes desserts, candies, specialty fruit drinks, pancakes, and then tons of souvenir stuff like mugs, cups, plates, and lunch bags, which sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, if you're a Minnie fan, you're not going to want to miss this. And it looks like they're keeping you coming back to over and over to see all the different outfits and things. So, of course, again, another cool thing that we're not going to get to see. But
I know. When will you open the borders? Please.
Yeah.
But back over here in the States, Gatorland has announced their second annual holiday Ho 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 Down, which started yesterday at the time that we're recording this, December 4th.
Yeah, I think I went to this a year or two ago. It's turned out to be an annual. Oh, it's a second annual, so I guess it was last year when I went. And the coolest thing was getting to meet the Santa Gator there that's in the picture.
They also, it's happening on weekends from now until December 19th. And you can enjoy live music, displays, and then characters like Gator Claws, who is featured in the logo here, but also Krampus Croc. I don't remember seeing pictures of Krampus Croc, no. But now I want to see this.
That might be a new addition this year. I don't remember that one either, but,
that sounds scary.
Gatorland's always a, good place, good and inexpensive place to go. And if you can go while one of these events is going on, you get all this extra for no extra cost. So
the Gatorland sense of humor, especially in the past like year or two, has really evolved into something like super memey and very self-referential. And I just love it. I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect for them.
Yep.
You can also pick up some last minute gifts because they'll have a ton of craft vendors set up around the park, as well as the Gatorland gift shop full of Gatorland gifts for you.
Yeah. And the gift shop, of course, is at the exit to the park. So if you aren't wanting to go to the park, but you're wanting some of these gifts, you can just head right into the gift shop at no charge. And there's no charge to park at Gatorland either. So
they're also doing an annual pass holder deal, where you can get 20% off of your merchandise, not only now, but year round. And they're also offering free shipping with a gift shop purchase of $50 or more through their online website. So you can pick up some gifts and have them shipped to friends and family.
Yep, there's only one Gatorland. And so if you can get some Gatorland merch, it'll be some unique merchandise for Christmas.
I hope they have Krampus Croc plushies.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got some news for Universal Studios Hollywood's a New Year's Eve celebration with their annual Eve event. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time it's been back since the pandemic. I don't think they had it last year.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I would assume not. And then they do the Eve. I think it's actually started in Orlando. And I don't think we've heard about Orlando doing it yet, but they probably will. And Orlando's is completely held. And in the past years, it's completely held in City Walk, whereas this event takes you place throughout the park, which is nice.
And it's included in the price of admission. So you buy a ticket to Universal Hollywood for the 31st and you get Eve.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that's cool.
You can enjoy the park during the day and then ride all of the rides and experience the offerings at night, with the park extending its hours to 2 a.m. But the real fun, it starts at 9 p.m. is when Eve really kicks off, and it will turn Universal Hollywood into like a party theme park with tons of DJs and live music, fun photo ops that you can post on Instagram. And it all leads up to a traditional New Year's Eve countdown and fireworks.
Which is nice. I don't think they have fireworks very often at Universal Hollywood. I know they do the, I think they've had them at the Hogwarts Castle, but this will be something different. So something unique.
Yeah.
If you can stay up to, well, I guess midnight. And then I assume midnight will be the fireworks. And then you've got 2 hours more you can spend in the park.
Yeah. And they'll have tons of food and beverages, desserts, champagne to toast at midnight, if that's your thing. Beer, wine, and cocktails. They'll also put out the 2022 dated merchandise during this event as well. Oh, nice. But this is a lot of stuff to be included just in your regular ticket price.
Yeah, I know here in Orlando, like I say, the party's held in City Walk and it's an extra charge, but the difference is you get a bunch of food included with it here in Orlando. So you're basically paying for like a buffet of food if it's done the same way as it has been in the past. But I like this better, where you don't have to pay to anything and you can enjoy everything and buy the food if you want.
Yeah. And you'll definitely be getting lots of walking in, because now that I've experienced Universal Hollywood, I it's insane just traveling between the two floors, I guess, for lack of a better word.
If you want to work off your food, you can walk up the stairs instead of taking the escalator.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think I could make one. I don't think I could make it from the bottom to the top.
You would find me sprawled out halfway up, just like, go on without me.
Yep.
Over at SeaWorld Orlando, Sesame Street, the land has opened up their Sunny Day Carousel. And our friend and contributor, Theron White, was there to capture it for us.
Yeah, it's interesting because they opened the whole Sesame Street land and it took over... Chamu Sea Harbor or something like that, Sea Harbor or something. But it took over the whole play area except for the carousel, and the carousel stayed the same, which was just, sea themed. So it's taken them a while, but now they've finally converted that over. And I think this is a kind of a clone of another one, I think maybe at a Sesame Place. But it looks really cool. It looks neat. I like that they finally changed it over. You don't have this random carousel that doesn't match the rest of Sesame Street right in Sesame Street.
It's really cute. I love the different designs of all of the horses, and they've even got kind of like Sesame Street park benches that you can sit on if riding a horse is not your thing, which I think is very charming, and it definitely fits into the whole style theme of the land really well. This is for riders under 42 inches. They have to be accompanied by a guardian or a companion. Those of 14 years of age or older can serve as that companion. Anyone can ride the bench seats, but riders under 42 inches can only ride on horses that are in the center row.
Yeah, probably typical carousel regulations, I would assume.
Yeah.
And then we also have a video of the ride showing some of the details, which you can check out right here on the website.
One thing that I thought was really interesting is that it already has ratings for SeaWorld Sensory Guide. Because if you didn't know, SeaWorld Orlando is a certified autism center. So all of the attractions and shows are rated based on certain criteria as far as how stimulating they are. And the Sunny Day Carousel is a 2 in touch, a 0 in taste, 2 in sound, 1 in smell, and 4 in sight. So that way you can determine how overstimulating or not it could be for you or your child if you visit. Which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that's, I assume that's since they have that designation that any new attraction they get, though, as soon as it opens, they should have these sensory guides ready for them.
So definitely head over to our YouTube channel once you're done watching this and check that out and let us know what you think. Over at Walt Disney World, Storybook Dining has returned to Artist Point, or it will on the 16th of December. Which, I mean, is this really like the first character dining that's like back? No. Or I guess Chef Mickey's has been back, right?
Yeah, that's been back. I think one of the first ones was at the Riviera Resort, or was it? I get that one confused with the other new one.
Topolino's Terrace, is that?
Yeah, something like that. They had characters, and essentially they just appear in the room. You don't get your photo with them. They just walk by, and maybe they do a little bit more posing as they walk by than they used to. But it's nice to see this one's coming back too. This one was really popular.
It was also super new right before the pandemic shut everything down. You can make reservations for it now. And they're calling it a new, quote, new character dining experience. You'll be able to see Snow White, Dopey, Grumpy, and the Evil Queen strolling through the enchanted forest of Artist Point as you enjoy a prefixed dinner with your choice of entree and shared starters and desserts.
Yep. And that's just the first of a bunch of different things that are coming. The Boat Rights Dining Hall at Port Orleans Riverside is reopening for dinner. Beaches and Cream has some 50th shake. I want to try most is this, the thing on the screen right now, the Whispering Canyon Dynamite Cinnamon Roll Sticks. I don't know where they come up with this, but I want to book breakfast there just to go try these.
It sounds spicy. So they're fiery red sticks filled with cinnamon schmear. So they're basically like smushed cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Sprinkled with crushed red hot candies, a drizzle of cinnamon oil, and they're served with a warm candy nut glaze. And the wick to the dynamite roll is bacon.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Super decadent, super savory. You might have to go try this out because I just want to see what it looks like in person.
Yeah, I wonder how hot it is, or if it's just like mildly cinnamon hot, or if it's like need to have a drink with it or what.
Or if any of the cast members do like a special thing or something when they bring it out.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then we've also got the Holiday Cream Cheese Mousse over in Pandora at Sautuli Canteen. This time it's a white chocolate peppermint cream cheese mousse with peppermint sauce and chocolate cookie crumbles. But you can only get it from December 20th through the 27th. So if you like those desserts, you'll have to go there fast.
That's like 7 days. And that's probably the worst time you'd want to go to the theme parks, at least the days after Christmas. I'll have to go on the try to get in the 20th if I can still get even a reservation at this point. But yeah, all these foods they all look delicious.
And then La Creperie de Paris is taking reservations for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No other menu changes beyond that, but the fact that they're taking reservations now is a good sign.
Yep. Excuse me. Well, bless you.
It snuck up on me. And then Magic Kingdom has launched 2 new treats for the 50th anniversary, with the first being at Main Street Bakery, the opening day celebration cake featuring milk chocolate mousse, a raspberry center, and gluten-free chocolate cake topped with balloon sprinkles and a chocolate piece with the castle on it. And then Storybook Treats is offering another specialty cone, this one themed to Grumpy from the Seven Dwarves. It's cranberry vanilla soft serve with a chocolate belt buckle and a Grumpy chocolate face. But this one has a end date on it. You can only get it through January 9th, 2022.
Yeah, I don't like these end dates. And then if you scroll down a little bit more, you'll see the one that I'm really wanting, the Orange Bird ice cream cone, which unfortunately is only at the water park, only at Blizzard Beach. So I have to buy a water park ticket just to go try this ice cream cone.
Yeah, those are only available from the 12th through January 7th. And that citrus swirl, it's orange and lime Dole Whip swirled together with a holiday dipped waffle cone and a white chocolate Orange Bird Santa chocolate piece on there.
Yep, looks good.
Yeah. And then there's also a Small World Black Forest cheesecake over at Pinocchio Village Haas, only offered through January 9th.
Yeah, if you're going to the parks, what I'd like to do is just get in, open the app up and start looking at each restaurant in the for mobile ordering. And they have a section for specialty desserts or special items or whatever. And you'll see these things listed there. So you can kind of see what each restaurant has as a refresher when you get into the park. And so you don't have to run around each one looking.
Yeah, this one, I think out of all of them, this one is the one that I would love to try.
Okay.
It looks super rich, but this is also a very stylized photo. I would like to see how it's presented in person.
Yeah. But
if you're looking for something to do, all of these treats this time of year, just go to Magic Kingdom and just hit them all. And
I've seen a few photos of people have bought something in the park, and it's kind of a nailed it situation where this doesn't really look like what Disney told me it was going to look like.
I will at least hopefully it still tastes good.
Yeah, it should.
And then Disney California Adventure has announced that their Lunar New Year and Food and Wine Festival offerings are returning for 2022 and have detailed a bit about what we can expect for both.
Yeah, we're going to get the Lunar New Year, January 21st through February 13th. And that's returning to California Adventure. If you've ever gone during those dates, you've probably seen some of this. All kinds of characters based on the Lunar New Year or that area of the country, of the world, I mean.
Since 2022 will be the year of the tiger in the Chinese zodiac, Tigger will be the star of the show for this coming year's event, and he will be dressed in his Lunar New Year best alongside Mulan and Mushu, Mickey and Minnie, the Three Little Pigs, and more. I assume he'll have a featured section of the parade, which will also be back, Mulan's Lunar New Year procession. And then new for this year, which I'm super excited about, is that Raya from Raya and the Last Dragon will make her domestic Disney Parks debut during Lunar New Year at Disney California Adventure.
Yeah, finally. It's when did that movie come out? It's been a while, but I know we've seen her photos of her in some of the Asian parks, I think.
Yeah, Tokyo, Shanghai.
Hong Kong or Shanghai, okay.
Yeah.
So it's nice to finally see her stateside.
Yeah, they will be setting up sort of like a Kumandra-esque, which is her region where she's from in the film, recreated in the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, and this will mark her debut. So if you like that movie, I thought it was great. Go and meet her, because we don't know if she's going to be a permanent addition to the parks or if this is a temporary thing or if we could see her come to like Epcot or something down the line. For now, it's all just see it while you can.
Yep.
And then the Sip and Savor Pass will be returning for both events. So you can, if you're planning on eating a lot, pick it up because it will definitely help you. And then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is back on March 4th through April 26th. And you can try your way through a dozen festival marketplaces that offer a variety of flavors. Culinary demonstrations will be back with local celebrity and Disney chefs. Those will be offered on the weekends only. And then if you're looking for a little bit more for your food and wine experience over there, they are going to be offering additional purchase winemaker receptions, mixology education, and tasting seminars as well.
Yeah, and definitely this one, for sure, you want to get that pass where it gives you samples that you can try, or not even just samples, but, you know, the full meals. But they usually give you a lanyard and click it off when you get something, but that saves you some money as well.
They didn't say how many punches or stamps that you get with these passes for now, but as soon as they do, we'll let you know. They're definitely, even across any kind of food and wine event, the passes are usually extremely helpful if you are a repeat visitor or if you just plan on really like destroying that entire lineup and eating one of everything.
Yeah, and you can share the passes. One person can buy the pass and you can use it for your whole group if that's all you're going to, if you're only going to be there one day or whatever. It says there's only a dozen marketplaces, but each marketplace will probably have, you know, 3 to 5 different items. So that's a lot of food.
Yeah. They will also have some entertainment, like live musical performances at the Palisade Stage and Paradise Gardens Bandstand. Chef Goofy will make appearances, and they'll also have crafts and things for kids. So very exciting. Can't wait for that to kick off. Can't wait to see Lunar New Year kick off, especially.
Yeah, I'm hoping if I had to choose between the two, it would be the food festival for me, and I'm hoping I can get out there for that one.
Yeah, definitely try. I would love to see any new things that they're offering this time around. And then Peacock kind of has taken over the theme park behind the scenes game and has launched a new kind of special called The Making of Jurassic World Velocicoaster at Universal Orlando, hosted by Mario Lopez.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, as we just got back from our cruise yesterday. But have you watched it yet?
I haven't had a chance to watch it either. But what I only have the free Peacock. I don't have the paid for one. So I wonder if it's available no matter what tier you have, or if you have to have the paid one.
Yeah, you would think that they would want to make this available because it's a promotion for the parks. It's going to make you want to go to the park and ride this if you watch it. So hopefully you can see it as well. If not right away, then I think eventually probably it would be on the free tier if it's not. But looks really good. The preview, we have a teaser video on the story here. And if you watch that, you can see that they really go in depth and they were filming from the start. It looks like all the design process and everything.
Yeah. So this coaster was developed over a period of 3 years, and you'll get to see some interviews from like Terry Koo, who is the senior vice president the senior vice president, chief creative officer of Universal Creative, Mark Woodbury, president of Universal Creative and vice chairman of Universal Parks and Resorts, project leads Shelby Ahonia, who we actually have an interview with. If you are a subscriber, you can read that. Our co-host Seth actually was the one that did that interview. And then Greg Hall, which we've talked to on the podcast before. And then some of the filmmakers from the Jurassic World franchise, Colin Trevorrow and Frank Marshall.
Yeah, we have an issue with Velocicoaster on the cover, and that issue has an interview with her. And then online, just for subscribers, is even more of the interview. So if you're a subscriber with us, check it out. If you're not, you need to subscribe.
Yeah. you can check out the sneak peek on our website now in the story, and you can stream it exclusively on Peacock TV. But I was really pleasantly surprised to see that Universal did this, because I think one of the things I loved most as a kid were all of the behind-the-scenes specials and little featurettes on the Disney parks on like Disney Channel growing up. And I really miss that as an adult, like getting to see behind the scenes of stuff as it's being created.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, some of the Disney holiday specials and things while they do offer some sneak peeks, they've kind of turned into commercials. Whereas this looks like it's a true behind the scenes look, although it obviously, like I said, is kind of a commercial because it's going to make you want to go ride the ride. But it looks like it has a lot of cool behind the scenes information. So
Yeah. And I know it's expensive to like hire cinematographers and a whole documentary crew to come and shoot a thing from start to finish. But I mean, ultimately, these things are so treasured for like young kids when they grow up seeing and they're like, I want to make that thing. You could be inspiring the future of Universal Creative for Disney Imagineers. You never know.
Yep, definitely. And that's it's not like the ride's only going to be around a couple of years. So that documentary will be around, you know, just as long as the ride and beyond. Once the ride goes away in whatever it is, 50 years, people then will want to see the documentary even more to remember the ride. So,
yeah. I still need to ride it. I still haven't been on it.
Yeah, you need to come and ride it.
I know. And in our last bit of news before the main attraction, if you were not around on social media on Friday, you missed that it has been officially declared that December 3rd is Walt Disney World Day in Orange County, Florida.
Yeah, interesting that they didn't pick October 1st to be Walt Disney World Day.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too.
Is that already a day and they couldn't use that one? Or is it the fact that they wanted to time it with this charity thing they did? Disney volunteers packaged 535 boxes of meals for families in need throughout Central Florida, which is awesome. So I guess they wanted to tie it to that day, or I don't know. Be interesting to see, but it was kind of out of the blue. It's like, what? Walt Disney World Day? What? we were talking about how are we going to write this up? What? All we knew was it's Walt Disney World Day. We didn't have any information at first, and they finally came out with a little bit more.
Yeah. So this took place at a press event at Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida. Orange County Mayor Jerry L. Demings was there, and Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer, who you would know if you are on the trams at MCO ever. He's always talking on the trams, welcoming you to Orlando or telling you to come back if you're leaving. They were there to officially proclaim December 3rd as Walt Disney World Day. They say it's in honor of the resort's 50th anniversary, but I still think it's weird that they didn't do it on October 1st.
Yeah.
But...
yeah,
besides the point.
Okay.
Mickey and Minnie were also there in their anniversary outfits, and cast members across Walt Disney World Resort were celebrating with photos, and they had new photo pass props that you could pose with to celebrate. And like Matt said earlier, after the announcement was made, Disney volunteers packed 535 boxes of meals for families in need throughout the Central Florida area. And then on top of that, Disney released special Walt Disney World Day Giphy stickers that you can use on social media.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if this is going to be a thing every year and they're going to do something, you know, either charitable related or will just be one of those things where October 3rd comes next year and we forgot that it's Walt Disney World Day.
I mean, in all of the announcements, it was like specifically December 3rd, 2021.
Yeah.
But it never said like now until forever, like annually, this is Walt Disney World Day. So I guess we'll have to wait until next December to find out and see if they celebrate.
I mean, since October 1st is the, you know, anniversary and this is not that, maybe they can turn this into... this is the day that we give back to the community day, like a charity type day.
That would be great. Nice. But congratulations. Very exciting honor to have your own day in like your home area where your park is located. It's a big deal.
Yep.
And that's everything for news in the queue. And before we get to this week's main attraction, let's get a quick word from our sponsors at Destinations with Character Travel.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction.
And this week's main attraction, a big surprise for all of us, considering I had just submitted my news in the queue and coming attractions columns that said that they were not back. Parking trams are coming back to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, that's finally. Everybody's like, finally, it's back. And people have been wondering for a while, why is it not back? It's like, it's, you know, they kept saying it's a pandemic, but it's like there's way worse things going on in certain parts of the park as far as a pandemic than riding on this tram. So I don't know what made them decide to finally bring it back, but I'm glad they did, and especially at Magic Kingdom. So,
oh my goodness, I can't even imagine having to walk that massive parking lot to get to your car, especially if you parked on like Ursula or something.
Well, it wasn't too bad at first because the park was limiting how many people could go. So therefore, all the parking was kind of towards the front. But now that they've, you know, expanded their capacity, it's you could end up in back in Ursula.
And this was, what was even more interesting was that this was not shared like most big news on Disney Parks blog or via Walt Disney World News, which is Disney's PR website. It was a social media post on the Disney Parks Instagram.
Yeah, I think I didn't want to make too big a deal out of it because it brings to light the question of why finally now, why haven't they done this in the past? But they just kind of wanted to say, hey guys, they're back.
Yeah. So the trams are returning to Magic Kingdom later this month. I would hope before like the Christmas crowds really hit super hard, because that's when they will be needed. But they won't return to the other parks until next year. And then they say throughout 2022. So not even all at the same time.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see when the last one, where that is and when that is. Like Animal Kingdom, it's not until next June or something. It could be even next November. I mean, I don't know. I would hope that it would be January, February, when they're all, you know, by that end of February, they're all rolled out, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it has to be, like hiring people back, because they haven't had the trams in so long. Though I guess that's just parking cast members. So they're trained on how to drive the trams.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either.
I have a contact that has a contact in parking. a while back I asked about it, and according to them, it was like, we don't have any idea when it's coming back, and it may not be anytime soon. And it sounds like it's not going to be anytime soon for all the parks just yet.
I would hope Hollywood Studios is next, just because of the volume of people that go there all the time. But if you were talking about strictly like parking lot size, Epcot should be next.
Yeah, especially when they park, and a couple times in the past year they parked people clear over, I think it's Wonder or whatever, it's way over on the side. Because they were doing some kind of maintenance in the main lot or something. So that was really a trek when you had to walk from there into the park. So yeah, Epcot would be the obvious one for the second one. Then I don't know, I guess Hollywood Studios isn't too bad. And then Animal Kingdom
can get kind of bad.
Yeah, it seems pretty bad. Yeah, I think I'd go Animal Kingdom for third, and Hollywood Studios to me maybe last, just because it's not that hard of a walk in. So I don't know. Yeah.
The walk in is easier. The walk out is the worst.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I don't know. We don't, and they didn't give anything about any kind of social distancing, or we have to wear your mask because it's transportation, but you're outdoors kind of. So we don't know any of the details on that probably until the day it happens. And one of us happens to be at the park that day or something and sees it.
I mean, it's already December 5th at this point. We're going to blink and it will be Christmas. I can't see them pushing this off for more than a week or two at most.
Yeah, you would think they wouldn't make the announcement until they were within a week or so
actually
doing it.
But this is great news if you have a trip coming up for the holidays and you plan on buying a lot of stuff, or if you have kids with you and they're going to be tired and they're going to want you to carry them or not walk. This is a great boon for those of you who feel exhausted at the end of the day and wish you could just teleport to your car.
And it's going to be interesting for guests who don't, you know, don't follow theme parks, and they just happen to go to Magic Kingdom one day and they ride the tram in. Then the next day they go to Animal Kingdom. They're like, what? No tram. Why is there no tram here? It's like, yeah. I just rode one yesterday. And I can't remember, did the Disneyland trams running?
They were not when I was there.
Okay. So I assume same thing there, that they haven't even been announced to come back yet. So,
and I know that walk, just from vlogs that I've been watching, if you park in like Mickey and Friends, it's a bad walk. It's so long.
Well, the Toy Story lot is clear down by the convention center. So
yeah,
I don't know if they're using it, but that's a really long walk.
Yeah. So, and no word on Disneyland either. This is just Walt Disney World for now.
Yeah. Our writer Theron said he hasn't even taken his grandpa. He's been taking his grandpa around to different parks and stuff while he's in town, and he hasn't even taken him to a Magic Kingdom yet because he knows there's no way that he could walk all that way to get into the park.
Yeah. So we will keep an eye on this, but this is pretty huge news. This is one of the last few things I feel like we've been waiting on to return post-pandemic. Entertainment was a big chunk of it. And now it seems like we're next year we'll finally kind of get back to like a semblance of what once was. And trams were a clear and deeply missed offering.
It was one of those things where everybody was just like, why? Why are they not back? What's, and maybe it's staffing. Maybe it's not being able to hire enough people to, you know, run the trams, and, you know, it's, they already have parking people out there parking the people. And like you said, they are the ones that also take turns driving the tram. So, but maybe there just wasn't enough of them at each park or something. I don't know. But,
and it could also have been a maintenance issue. I mean, the parks were closed for a while and those trams sat unmaintenanced for a while. Maybe they just didn't have the opportunity to repair them fully in time until now, or, you know, it could be a combination of things, and we'll never know.
Yeah, no, we'll never know. But, I know when you're leaving Animal Kingdom, all the trams are like lined up there, and I have a couple of good photos of them just sitting there all lined up, and I would have sent you the photo for this article, but I was on a cruise.
We can always change it out.
But so you go by it every time you go to the park, you go, there's the trams just sitting there. And the other thing that hasn't come back yet that is also just sitting there in the Epcot parking lot are all the minivans. No word on that either. And they're still sitting there. So
I don't know. Maybe those will come back. Maybe they won't. It's anyone's guess at this point.
Who knows? They're still sitting there, so that's a good sign that they haven't been, stripped of all their wrap and everything.
Yeah. But that's everything that we had to share with you this week. And before we go, I have a listener thank you to share. In case you did not know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription plan. And if you pick Club or VIP the week after you join us, you get a shout out here on the podcast from us. And this week, I would like to thank Eddie Kevany. Thank you so much. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. And if I didn't, I'm sorry. And we also have our winter issue coming soon. We were just looking at cover options for it earlier today.
Yep, that's always, we go between our staff and say, which one do you like? All right, guess one. Let's move this part of this to this part. And so we're still working on that. Most of the issue is done. We have a story on Run Disney and how it's returned already. So that's speaking of things that have returned and more planned, and they're selling out quick. And then we also have, this is our Disney World 50th issue. So we have, I think extra, usually it's 6 pages for a main story. I think we bumped this one up to 8, or I can't remember right now, but a bunch more pages and a lot of information on what everything's going on for the 50th and a little bit about the history. And then of course we've got our Q&A. Q&A actually is really interesting. This issue, it's one of the prop guys that worked on both Harry Potter and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. But he, in particular, he's the guy who created the Darth Vader marionette that they ended up selling. So we speak to him about how it feels to not only create a prop, but have your prop turned into a toy. And a couple other things he created have been turned into toys in Galaxy's Edge. And a whole bunch more in the issue as well. The Swan Reserve, we have a review of that. And Space 220 for the restaurant. And that is, if you purchase a subscription right now, you'll start with that issue. If you purchase it before around the 10th, you'll start with that issue. And then depending on which subscription level you get, basic starts with the next issue. So if you subscribe after the 10th, you'll start with the issue after that. The club starts with the current issue, which will be that issue. It should be, if you're a subscriber, you should get it. Hopefully by the end of the month, depending on the post office, of course, we're always, at their mercy once we mail it out. And it is the holidays. So it may be January, early January before you get it. And then we'll also have it for sale. If you just want to buy the issue alone, we'll have that as well.
It's always a nice surprise when you forget about something and then get it in the mail.
Yep.
And so. Then since Seth isn't here, I will do his bit where I thank our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel, once again for keeping this train on the tracks, and remind you all to head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the Attractions Podcast and give us a 5-star rating and a nice little review if you want. We really appreciate it, and it helps the algorithm toward push our content out to other people who might like it as well. And
if you watch it here, if you watch it here on YouTube, be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a comment, and it does the same thing. Just helps spread the word about the show. We appreciate it.
And Matt, if you would tell the folks at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
For my personal account, you can find me at Matt Boom on Twitter, and then on Instagram, I'm at Attractions Matt.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE on Twitter and Instagram. I promise I will not post Spider-Man spoilers after I see it. I swear. And if I do, you can get mad at me. That's fine. But you can also find me every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. And is it attractions or attractions magazine on TikTok?
TikTok. I was going to mention TikTok. So we're at attractions, just at attractions on TikTok. So be sure to follow us there. We're posting a bunch of really fun and funny and informative videos there.
Yeah. Theron has been taking over the TikTok, and he's been doing an amazing job keeping up with all the trends. He's been doing great. So definitely give that a follow if you get a chance. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Thanks for joining us.